We are so thankful to be able to come to this place where we can share the Word of God together. Thankful that the Lord has given us His Word, not just His Bible, but a message for us at this particular day and time. God is so good. I'm going to take you to the 7-Eleven. What? Okay, Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. Luke 7:11. We want to look at, behold, a dead man. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after, if you read the first 10 verses, you'll find that he was dealing with a centurion, a Roman centurion in charge of 100 soldiers who had a sick servant. Very unusual that anybody cared for their servants after they got sick. Usually they just dismiss them, send them back home, get rid of them. But this centurion had a heart that was compassionate towards his servant. And he said, Master, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word, because I have soldiers and servants unto me, and I say, go do this, and they do it. And I know that you are greater than I could ever be, and I know all you got to do is speak the word. And Jesus ended up that passage by saying, I have not found so great a faith. Jesus marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So we have a true believer with faith that amazed and made the Lord Jesus Christ marvel from a Gentile. Now the next day, he's going to go and see a dead Israelite. So we see that in verses 1 through 10, he saw a soldier dealt with him. Now in verses 11 through 17, he's going to deal with a son. And then in verse 18, as he begins to deal with John the Baptist, he begins to deal with a servant. So you have a soldier, a son, and a servant. Let's begin with Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, N-A-I-N. Now, Nain comes from an Old Testament word in Isaiah 52:7, translated in the Hebrew, beautiful. And in Jeremiah 23 and verse 10, the Old Testament Hebrew is translated, pleasant places. You know this word if you ever have quoted or read Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The word pastures is the word from which we get the word Nain. So here was a place where it had been very pleasant. It was a beautiful place. It was a pasture land for God's people. But here we come from a Gentile that has great faith, greater than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ever found in Israel. And we come now to this previously beautiful, pleasant place, pleasant pasture, where there is now a dead Israelite. God's beginning to move on in his purposes for mankind. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, be careful now, and much people. The Amplified translates that word much people as a great throng. In other words, a multitude. Now, it's important because we're going to run into that again at the end of verse 12. The end of verse 11, and much people. End of verse 12, and much people of the city was with her. So here was a large gathering, a great throng. Two great thrones, two great multitudes, one going with the woman to the cemetery and one coming with Jesus to the city. And we begin to see how these things begin to show us the purposes and the mind of God Almighty. Now, One of the groups is traveling with death, a dead man. Now, when he came nigh to the city, behold, there was a dead man, verse 12, carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So much people of the city was with her on the way to the cemetery. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Let me read you John 5 and verse 25. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So here was one that was physically dead. That verse refers to the spiritually dead, those who are, quote, dead in trespasses and sins, as far as Ephesians chapter 2 refers to us. So there was a great throng going with the woman to the cemetery dealing with the dead. And then there was also a multitude who was going with Jesus in life. One was with death. One great throng was with life. The dead crowd was headed to the cemetery. Jesus was headed to the city. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. One group was gathered together because of death, headed to the cemetery. One group was gathered together because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And they were headed to the city. Dear soul, which one are you headed to? Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 10. For he, Abraham, looketh for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:10. He looked for a city which had foundations. Abraham dwelled in tents. If he wanted to change his location, he had to pull up the tent pegs, roll up the tent and pack it up on a camel and go on to another place. But he was looking for a city that had foundations, and no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And we are told that the 12 apostles are the 12 foundations that are established upon the solid rock of the person of Jesus Christ, who himself is the chief cornerstone. So there are those of us who are involved in physical death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So here's a throng going with a widow to the cemetery because of death. But now here is a throng going with the person who is the life, headed into the city. He went into the city of Nain. Verse number 13, Hebrews chapter number 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. This world is not my home. I'm just traveling through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, one songwriter wrote. And that is the lifestyle of the true believer. He's looking for some place that is solid, that he can sink roots, that he can build upon the foundation that will establish him there forever. Everything here is transitory. It is not that which you can say, this is and shall be. Because by the time you get the shall be out, something's happened and it's changed your whole life. So it says, they were looking for a city. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hebrews 11:14. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If you're not seeking a city, a celestial city, if you're not seeking the city whose builder and maker is God, if you're not seeking the city, dear soul, whose walls are salvation and that the foundation is Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles, then he says, then you're going to have desire to go back and stay in this world. You remember when Naomi left Moab, one daughter, daughter-in-law went with her, and one daughter stayed behind. Ruth went with her, and she said, I want to be where you are. I want to be where your people that are become my people. And that's what the Christian says to Christ. Lord, let's leave this washpot. That's what Moab was known as, God's washpot. He sent his people there to wash them and cleanse them from carnal affections and bring them to an end of themselves by tribulation, which worketh patience. So Oprah went back with her. TV's got me messed up. Oprah went back and didn't go with her. So she didn't have any desire to seek a city. She wanted to stay where she was. And that's what this says. If you are mindful of where you come from, that's all you got. That's what you dote on. That's what you look for. You got to get out your pictures and show this is when mama was still alive. This is daddy and this cousin, you know, Joe and so forth. And always looking behind. The Bible said, forgetting those things which are behind, press forward towards the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but now, verse 16 of Hebrews 11, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So he hath prepared for them a city. So, dear soul, it is not just pure happenstance. It is not without without meaning. It is purposeful that here is a large group of people going with the dead headed to the cemetery. But here is a large group of people with the Lord Jesus Christ walking in with one who is the life and headed into a city. It shows you the division of the human race. There are so many on the Broadway that all they got and all they want is what, you know, pleases their taste buds or pleases their sensual appetites. But there are those who are on the narrow way and said, you know, having food and raiment, let us be content. I don't want all that stuff. It's going to be burned up. Great big fire in Tyrone this past week burned down the entire store where they had, they call it the Red Door because they painted the door red. And it was a place where you could bring your old clothes in and trade them in and get new clothes. And they're not new. They were other people's clothes that they had brought in. And all of that was in there burned up, everything. And I thought, well, that's what's going to happen to all of our stuff. The heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall be burned up and be consumed. And seeing we know these things, what manner of people ought we to be? So here are those that are walking with Christ, and they're headed to a city. Here are those who are walking with death, inevitable. Just accept it. Don't have any plan or purpose to cast death off of us. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ came down the road. Amen. Thanks be that the Lord Jesus Christ was astounded and had marveled at a Roman centurion, a Gentile, having such faith that he said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy of that. That's why I sent people to tell you to pray for my servant, because I wasn't worthy to come and stand in your presence. Dear soul, what a glorious thing that is. But now, as soon as he leaves, well, it was the next day, after he left the centurion, here he comes to the city of Nain. Supposed to be beautiful. Supposed to be a place where God's sheep lay down in green pastures. Supposed to be a pleasant place. And now the first thing you run into is a dead man. Behold, a dead man. Now, so we see that these are the two multitudes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He didn't say you shouldn't sorrow over people that die that you love. He said, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. This old death is not able to hold the believer. Because death was not able to hold the believer's Savior, Jesus Christ. He tore the bars away. Up from the grave he arose. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, which are dead, in Jesus will God bring with him. Here was that crowd coming with him. He was not leading them to death. He was leading them from death. They were not going to the cemetery. They were going to the city, a city whose builder and maker is God. And he said, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. God told me to tell you this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of, or as the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Doesn't say anything about some thousand-year reign on earth. It says, as soon as he comes back, we're going to be with him. Nothing in here about a secret rapture. Just says, God's going to come back, God's going to get us, and we're all going with him, and we shall ever be with the Lord upon that one return of the Lord. So we see that here in hidden in these words, and it's an accurate example, it's not made up. There was a great throng coming with Christ into the city. There was a great throng coming with the widow into the cemetery, and they run together. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ ran together with my ancestors who were dead in trespasses and sins. All they could give me was to pass on their sin to me. They gave me the natural birth. But dear soul, that won't get you anything with the Lord. I need the spiritual birth, and thanks be to God that he came and met me where I was, dead in trespasses and sins, and spoke to my heart the same as he spoke to Lazarus and said, come forth. And he that was dead, physically dead Lazarus came forth, and he that was dead, physical dead preacher, came forth dead in trespasses and sins, and behold, all things became new. All things passed away. Instantaneous spiritual life. Isn't that good? So this little account here, just in verses 11 and 12 of Luke chapter 7, it gives you so much to meditate on. Think about it. All I can do is open up these scriptures for you, and that's what I'm laboring to do and glad to do, happy to do, thrilled to do, blessed by God to be able to do, to bring them to you and open up the scriptures for you. Now, you need to enter in and go into these things and meditate on them and pray to the Lord and ask him to give you greater wisdom. He will. And you'll see yourself in the scriptures and see yourself and your situation in the workings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is great confirmation and comfort to the believer. So I'm praying that as God grants me the opportunity to open the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will then come and open up your heart. I've been asking Jesus for my egg. What are you talking about? If a son asks a father for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asked for an egg, you know, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I've been asking all week, Lord, give me my egg. Natural father would not deny you of breakfast if he had it and you didn't. And dear soul, he wanted to give it to you. He'd be glad to give it to you. But how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So I've been saying, Father, be greater. Father, capital F, be greater than natural parents. Be greater than that which is born of the flesh. Give us the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you that, Lord, not just for me, only to open up the Scriptures for these precious souls that are attending the Word of God, but, Lord, also for them that they might have the Holy Spirit, that not only will these openings of the Scriptures resonate with their hearts, but also that they would continue on feasting off the person of Christ and seeing more than what they are seeing here just in this message. Go back to the Scriptures. Luke chapter 7, verse number 13. And when the Lord saw her. Wait a minute. What do you mean saw her? There were probably hundreds of people in those two throngs. There were probably hundreds of people in those two great multitudes. But you see, dear soul, Jesus came to fasten his eyes upon this widow. Wonder why he did that? Because here was a woman weeping who had no husband, and her only son was dead. Here were two sons of a mother without a husband. Luke chapter 1, the angel said that this, blessed art thou among women, not above women. He said to Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, what was the response? Here was Mary saying that which identified her with this woman. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Jesus' mother was a mother without a husband, and she would eventually weep over her dead son. He was seeing God the Father giving him opportunity in providence, forming in this little procession. It wasn't little, but that great multitude that came with this woman. But in this little woman, one woman, he looked on her, looked beyond all the multitudes and looked at her. Why? Because her situation spoke of his situation. Here were two sons of a mother without a husband. Jesus' mother did not have a husband that brought him into the world. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. One was alive, Jesus of Nazareth, but he was destined to die. But the other son was dead, but he was destined to live. Isn't that amazing? These things, they're so, I'm a little peanut, I don't know anything. There's no way that I could bring to you the revelation of his heart and mind and his glorious sanctified imagination, seeing that woman, thinking of his own self and thinking, well, here is an opportunity for me to act out that which is going to happen to me. And dear soul, here he was, same as that man that was dead in the casket. They were two sons of a mother without a husband. How do you get that? He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. She was a widow. That's what it said. The last several words in the first sentence in verse 12. And she was a widow. She had no husband to bring forth another son with her. And the only son that had been brought forth was dead. So he sees a woman, and in that he sees not just Mary. I would be a bad teacher just to take you to Mary. We're not Roman Catholics. We give Mary her respect, but we don't make her more than what she is. But we turn over to the book of the Revelation chapter 12, and we begin to see that he not only sees his physical mother, Mary, in whose womb he was formed, his humanity was formed, but he sees the church. That's what we need to see. It wasn't just a widow with a dead son that he saw. It was the church. And Satan was doing all he could to destroy the son that God would give through the church and destroy him. And he did take him to death. But he didn't realize it was through death Christ shall destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the church. She's clothed with the sun, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. It's his righteousness. He hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. She's clothed with the righteousness of God. The sun, S-U-N, represents the S-O-N. The moon under her feet. What is the responsibility and the purpose of the church? To reflect. We can't originate purity and holiness and glory. All we can do is reflect it. That's what the moon does. When does the moon do that? In the darkness of the night. And dear soul, Christians, in the darkness of this sinful world, can reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as he shines upon them. And he says, ye are the light of the world. Let your light be so seen before men that they may see your light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is your light because he gave it to us. It's not our light because we originated it. It's our light because he gave it to us. He gives it to us. And you don't realize, dear soul, dear Christian, how many times God beams a light from you, maybe with attitude, maybe with a look on your face, maybe when all of us are smirking and laughing and condoning sin, you're standing there without any reflection like that. You don't know how much God is using you and beaming the revelation of the glory of God into people's lives that may make a great difference. I'll get it out. May make a great difference in their life. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Revelation 12 again. And she being with child travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. Now, if you'll look on down, In verse number 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Who is that? All authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. It's Jesus Christ. Then who is it that's bringing Jesus Christ into the world? We're not just talking about physical Mary. We're talking about the church is birthing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to his throne. That's the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see there's such a depth in these very small verses in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. It's glorious, dear soul, and the Lord Jesus Christ, with far greater perception than this ignorant lump could ever have. I'm just the moon. If any of this is coming out and you're seeing it, it's because Jesus is beaming his glory off of me. It's not me. I don't originate anything good. I just reflect he who is within me that is good. So he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. And so it is with you. So we see that he is seeing this as not only Mary, his mother, who was without a husband, and her son that was going to die, but he was seeing the church. Here we see in Revelation 12 the picture of this, and seeing that the church was in need of his resurrection. He wanted to raise this boy from the dead as a picture of and a hope of the church receiving their regeneration by his resurrection. For God who raised Christ from the dead shall also raise you from the dead. Raise up your mortal bodies, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6. So this is deeper than just Jesus thinking about Mary. Don't throw that out. He did. But this goes beyond into the realm of the church, bringing forth the child and doing so without human intervention or human participation. Dear soul, it wasn't man that saved you. There might have been a preacher preaching or an uncle or an aunt or somebody who was speaking the word of God when God quickened you. But dear soul, there's been thousands of people set under preaching and didn't ever get saved. It had to be the Holy Spirit. So it's beyond just that which is natural and can be seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. But for the things which are seen, their death, they come to death. But the things which are not seen, they are deathless. It is the spiritual realm that we're talking about. Now, the woman, we were at in verse 5, the child was caught up to God and to his throne, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus whom you see go into heaven shall likewise come in, shall so come in like manner. Get back to Jerusalem and do what you're supposed to be doing, because Jesus is going to be coming back in the form of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Where is that? That's everywhere the church has been since Jesus Christ ascended and the Holy Spirit was sent, where she hath a place prepared of God. You know those verses. You know those words. You've heard these old harlot preachers read them things to you in every funeral you've ever been to. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he's in heaven right now building you a house with hammer and nails and two. I just want to stand up at funerals and say, quit lying to these people. He wasn't going to Home Depot to get building materials to build them a physical house. He was going to the cross. to build them a place before God so that God could be satisfied with those who were sinners. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Greatest word in the Bible. God is satisfied with you. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross to prepare a place. Therefore, as long as the church stays in this world, she shall have her prepared place so that she can be able to endure and she can be able to be developed. She shall have her trials and afflictions that shall end her affections, her inordinate affections, and she shall be purified. After you have suffered a while, the Lord will establish and strengthen and settle you, Peter said. So we see that that's true. That was what Brother Mike Conrad was saying in his previous message about suffering. Good message. You need to listen to it. And she brought forth a man child. He was caught up to heaven. He was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. She goes and finds a place prepared of God that they shall feed her for entire church age. How long was it? Symbolically, it was 1,203 score days, which is so many months. They say it says sometimes in months, sometimes in days. And what happens when she has her place prepared of God? The devil is thrown out of his place. And there was war in heaven, in the heavenly realm. That's what happened at the cross. And he said, the devil fought with his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven, that is, for the devil. Jesus said, all authority is given me in heaven, throw the devil out, and earth. I prepare a place for you. God will take care of his church. Not a hair of your head shall be harmed. God was looking after you, and he did it through the powerful and rich substitutionary death of Jesus of Nazareth. So the old serpent was cast out, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, my soul. Now is come salvation. That's what verse 10 of Revelation 12 said. That's when it happened at the cross. Now is come salvation. Hold on a minute. John 12. The book of John chapter 12. Let's see. Yep, 12. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's what happened in Revelation 12. The devil was cast out. There was war in heaven. When? When Jesus was crucified. What was going on during all that time that we couldn't see? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, coming to take over and to reestablish the authority that God gave the first Adam that he lost. He said, you shall have dominion over everything. And the devil come and snatched it away from him. So he's called for that period of time from when Adam was cast out of the garden till Jesus Christ cast him out of heaven as the God of this world. But he's not. That's just what he's called. So he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And listen, when? And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You say, well, that's just talking about his ascension. Keep reading. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Read your Bible. John 12:33 said this is going to happen when he dies. There was a mighty warfare in the atmosphere, in the spiritual realm, as it says in the scripture, in the heavens, in those realms that you and I have no sight. We can't see it. We don't know what's going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians, what, 6:12, and we understand and see, dear soul, that at the time of Jesus' death and burial, he was working mightily to the pulling down of strongholds. He was destroying Satan's kingdom. He was doing what the first Adam failed to do, and what the first Adam lost, Jesus gained that back and more. How do you know he gained back more? Because we can't fall now, and Adam did. So he says, now shall signify what death he shall die. That's what he was talking about when Satan was cast out at the cross. Now, he says in verse number 11 of Revelation 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So you don't overcome him by swords and guns and knives and so forth. Our warfare and weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds do we have to pull down? False imaginations about God, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth against the knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God, and bringing into obedience every thought to the obedience of Christ. Stop your stinking thinking. Immediately go into the presence of God when the wicked one puts wicked thoughts in your mind. Don't let him get away with it. Cast down those imaginations. Take those impure thoughts like the prodigal did. He went straight from the hog pen to his father. Still was stinking of the hogs. The father took care of everything. The father restored him back to his purity and back to his place of authority with the household. Listen. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You don't realize how powerful it is. The tongue in the mouth of Jesus, according to Revelation 1, is a sword. We overcome the devil and the power of darkness by the word of God. Believe it. Read it. Meditate on it. Teach it. Live it. Trust God for it. Pray it back to God. Lord, you have said in your word that you would be with me all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm trusting you to fulfill your word. Pray it back to God. Quit your little mamby-pamby, wimpy little prayers and say, I'm standing on the basis of your word, Father. Get some backbone, Christian, and stand up in the presence of God and say, you have said this. I'm expecting this. I need bread, spiritual bread. Don't give me a rock. I need to be a fisher of men. I need fish. Don't give me a serpent. I need an egg. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Christian, you need to claim that which God has freely given you and provided for you. And you need to get in there and blow the dust off of it and say, this is mine. I'm receiving it from God and I'm going to live in it. This is the victory that overcome the world, even your faith. You say, well, I don't have much faith. Then that's a good thing that you do have faith, whether it's little or much. Well, he that has faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You ever seen mustard seed? It's about as small as a grain of salt. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this tree, be you uprooted and cast into the sea. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. God is establishing his glory in your life, in your soul. He will conquer you first. But by that, you will be able to conquer for the glory of God in your family and in your friends and in your neighborhood, whatever. Be what you're supposed to be as a Christian. God will, he will condone it. He will bless it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We ain't stuck on ourselves. God hates a proud look. Pride goes before a fall. We don't love our lives. We love Christ's life in us. That's the way that it is. Listen. And the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Verse 13 of Revelation 12. That's why you're in trouble. The devil is coming to persecute you simply because you're born of the Spirit. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It will happen, but it is only common to man. God will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And after you have suffered a while, God will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Listen. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Got a dry throat. Thank you, Brother Bobby, for the water. And that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. You have a place provided you by God. I go to prepare a place for you. Nobody can take it from you. God gave it to you. Find your place. Nestle into it. Get comfortable in it. Receive strength from it. Receive comfort in it. Listen, she received the two great wings of an eagle, speaking of the Holy Ghost, that she might fly into the wilderness, that's where she was, into her place. And she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. What is that? It's the same thing as in verse 6, the 1,203 score days. How long is that? The church age. You're not a mathematician. Quit trying to figure this out with a slide rule and a calculator. It just means God has a definite time that the church is going to survive. She is going to be fine. She's going to do well. The world's going to go to hell around her. Everything in America is rotten and stinking right now from Congress all the way down to the grocery store. Listen, dear soul, but the church is doing fine. She's not sick. She's not going to fail. God is establishing her. She can't fail. She's built on the solid rock. Let the rain come. Let the floods rise. Let the winds of adversity blow on the church. It's not going to hurt her. God is establishing her. It's her place. Ain't that good? Dear soul, it doesn't matter if I'm over here screaming into this microphone with an empty congregation. That ain't the word. The assembly where we, the sanctuaries. Thank you. Thought I'd never remember that word. It doesn't matter if I'm over here spitting in this microphone with an empty sanctuary. God's getting out his word. You're getting, aren't you? Right? God hadn't left you. He said he wouldn't. You don't get to be able to get together with everybody like you would like. Then quit liking it. Get together with God. God has provided you a place where you can come together with him. What greater thing could you have? Oh, my soul. Listen. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away. I've never seen and heard so many lies in all my life. Hundreds and thousands of lies, misinformation, ungodliness being presented as the gospel. It's unreal. But don't worry about it. God's not going to let you be carried away in that flood. He told you that I'm not going to let anything like that flood of Noah happen to you again. And he won't. Listen. And the earth helped the woman. What does that mean? They that are of the earth are what? Earthy. They may be saying, well, I'm a Christian. Why? Because I'm a member of that church. So you're telling me that you being a member of a religious organization says you are a Christian? Yes. That's not true. you're on the broad way if you don't know the Lord. So we see the earth help the woman. Those who are earthy, those who are not born again, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of her mouth. There are hundreds and thousands of churches that believe all the garbage that is being promoted as the gospel in our day, and they're swallowing it down. So it won't hurt us. It'll never come to us. It's the earthy church. It's those on the broad way. Those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That's who he's talking about. They the ones that help the woman. And that made the dragon mad. Every time he spews out lies, nobody believes it but the harlot church. And it said the dragon was wroth with the woman, made him mad, because he can't touch God's elect. Listen, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Okay, I couldn't kill the Lord Jesus. The woman produced the child. He was caught up immediately to heaven. I couldn't destroy Jesus, so I'll go after the woman. So he comes after the church, and all the aggravation and affliction and trials that the church has had down through the centuries hadn't done anything but made her better, made her stronger. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope causes the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. Every blow that the demon blacksmith, the devil, hammers and sparks fly to destroy you makes you stronger. That must really aggravate the devil. Everything he does with all of his power, it doesn't do anything but fulfill God's will in bringing those on the broad way into the darkness of hell and strengthening and helping those who are on the narrow way to come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ greater within themselves. Isn't that good? God is so good. Oh, we got a long way from 7-Eleven, didn't we? Let's go back to the store. Let's go back to 7-Eleven. What are we talking about? We're talking about Nain, a beautiful place, a place of pleasant pastures. And we're talking about two sons of a mother without a husband. The person of the Lord Jesus, who was alive but was destined to die. The person of this son, we don't know his name, don't need to know it. He's just a dead man. And he is dead but is destined to live because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. So we find in Romans chapter 8, we have a phrase in here that gave me trouble for a while. Not that I didn't think it was true, but that it was that I didn't know how to understand it. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, be careful, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that's the phrase that bothered me for so long, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. The first Adam was formed and created and walked with God before there was sin. But the last Adam, bless his precious soul, he sees himself in a dead son. He sees that he has come to a race who are dead in trespasses and sins. He had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not sinful, was all points tempted, yet without sin. He never had a sinful thought, a sinful motive, a sinful action. He was always the perfect Son of God. But he was placed in a society, even of the true church, who themselves were dead in trespasses and sins. He had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that's where he began to work. Therefore, when he saw this dead son being carried out, it resonated with his own soul. It resonated with his own his own purposes, his own way, the way God was dealing with him. He sees a mother with no husband and a dead son. How can you get any more perfect description of the Lord Jesus Christ? His mother, Mary, had no husband, seeing that I know not a man. And her son was destined to die. I didn't come into the world to live. I came into the world to die. What shall I say? God delivered me from this. But for this cause came I into the world. And 1 John says Jesus came into the world to die and defeat the devil. So here he is, seeing in a picture, though it wasn't an image on the screen, lived out a throng headed to the cemetery. With him came a throng headed to the city whose builder and maker is God. The boy dead in the casket had a mother, but she had no husband. Jesus Christ was going to be the dead son, the glorious dying of the God-man from a mother who had no husband. How can you get any plainer than that? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. There wasn't anything wrong with the law. The Bible said it was holy and just and good. It's still wrong to kill somebody. Thou shalt not kill. There's nothing wrong with the law. Thou shalt not steal. Thieves break through and steal. It's still wrong. It's still bad. But dear soul, listen. It wasn't the law that was bad. It was the people who tried to keep the law. Us. It was weak through the flesh. We couldn't keep it. And he says, so God sent his son. When? Before Adam and Eve fell? Nope. When? In the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? Because that's where we needed him. He had to come and be made in fashion like unto his brethren. That's what we say. That's what we see. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's what it means in the likeness of sinful flesh. We don't have a high priest who can't have compassion on us. You know what I found out? If you have a boss man or boss lady or whatever that has never been sick in their life, when you call in and say, I'm sick, they ain't going to have any compassion on you. They think, well, get in here. I'm here. I've never missed a day. I haven't missed a day all my career with this company. But if you have a supervisor, a boss, whoever, and they have had sickly children, and maybe themselves have been sick, and you have those problems, they have compassion on you. That's what this means. It means we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, listen, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, not finished yet, all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You ain't never had a boss like this. He has never had any infection. He has never been down with the disease of sin. It's never, ever brought him down except when he was turned over to the powers of darkness at the cross. He was in all points tempted, yet without sin. All points tempted made him a compassionate and tender high priest. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You call in and say, boss, yep. This is old John, yep. my boy had to be taken to the hospital. If I come in at all today, it'll be late. I understand. I remember when my boy went. There is a difference in the God who can be touched. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He can be touched with the feelings. You say, I don't know how to describe my feelings. You don't have to describe them. You need to understand that Jesus Christ understands them, and he will embrace you in them, and he puts you in them in order that you might see yourself in him. He came through the city of Nain just in time to intersect a procession of a widow going to the graveyard with her only son. That was going to be the end of her family name. She had hopes that he would marry the little girl down the street and they would have grandchildren and it would continue on their family. There he was, dead. She's going to the graveyard, not only having lost her son, but having lost her husband's name. It was going to be cut off. There was not going to be a continuation of that name. Sin had done the same thing to us. Dear soul, the Lord Jesus Christ saw himself in that. Therefore, he can see himself in you. You have no temptation but that which is common to man, and God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You need to understand those three words. God is, that's right in the middle of that verse. That's a stake driven down by God and said, this is that which holds this whole concept together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I understand that, but what can help me? God is faithful. So he will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make the way of escape. Man, I'm already through as far as time, but I ain't near through as far as preaching. I hope the Lord will help us to get started back into this in the second session that we're going to try to bring to you. Behold a dead man down at the 7-Eleven, Luke 7:11, and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, see himself in this procession and bringing to us, thank God, what day is this? December the, no, January the 22nd, 20, whatever, 2022, yeah, something like that. You mean all this time? Hush, preacher, you run out of time. I know. I can't hush. Listen, all this time, 2022 years later, he's still manifesting himself and still revealing himself to you as you go walking down through life with throngs headed to the cemetery. Not just dead physically, but perishing into the darkness of hell. You're in the middle of all that mess. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to hush. Lord willing, we'll take back up in session number 2 on Behold a Dead Man. God bless you.